Anyway, we are glad you're here. We go through books of the Bible. Right now we're in the book of Acts at the 9 a.m. study, of course, from the announcements. We're in Isaiah, but we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 31, man. And you know what? We've been in Acts for 14 weeks now, and we have began in Acts chapter 1. We've seen the ascension of Jesus. We've seen the Holy Spirit poured out in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We've seen God do miraculous things through Peter as Peter walked by a guy, and the guy had been lame since birth, and Peter looked at him and said, "Hey, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Raise up and walk." Amen. What happened to that dude?
I have to walk.
There's a pretty good chance you're going to see that guy in heaven one day.
Amen.
Huh? You're going to see that guy in heaven one day. We also seen, you know, Ananias and Sapphira who didn't really, weren't honest with the Holy Spirit. We know that didn't turn out real well, amen. Last week, though, we looked at something, man, what a picture we looked at. And what we looked at in Acts chapter 9, and I want you to remember that, Acts chapter 9, because one of the greatest stories in the Bible you will find in Acts chapter 9, and what that is the conversion of a man named Saul, man. And you know what? At that time, it probably didn't seem like a very big deal. But we have the advantage to looking back and seeing everything that God accomplished through that man named Saul, who would later become Paul the Apostle, someone who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, someone God used in such a mighty, mighty way. Amen? So let's get into, after that, what we'll be talking about today is going to be talking about Saul and Barnabas, and sometimes it's just hard to come up with a title. I'll just be honest with you, right? Because that's who we're talking about today. I thought about coming alongside or helping a brother out or encouraging a brother. But today we're going to be talking about Saul and Barnabas. And this is we'll see today the beginning of a relationship that will absolutely make a difference in the kingdom of God. Now remember, here in Acts, in the early chapters, God is building his church. And in that, God is doing some very amazing things. Who read ahead? If you read ahead, you know the end of this chapter. Peter heals another man named Aeneas, all right? And he has been lame for 8 years. And Peter says, "Take up your mat and walk." And what does he do? He takes up his mat and walk. But the key verse in there is people seen that and believed on the Lord. If you read ahead and you know what the end of chapter 9 says, you know there's a lady in there named Dorcas or Tabitha. And this lady had actually died. But there was friends of hers, man, disciples also, came and got Peter and said, "She's such a great person. Look at some of the things she did. Look at some of the things that she made." And what did Peter do? Peter went in there. He pushed everybody out of the room. He went in there and he laid on top of her and he said, "Get up." And what happened? God is doing some very amazing things, but don't miss the verse in there as well. Here's what it says. All those people in Joppa heard and seen what the Lord did and believed on the name of the Lord. So listen, man, when God does these things, he's got a purpose. He's always got a purpose. And that purpose is always to bring people to himself. Amen? And to bring people to a trusting relationship in his Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? All right, so last week we saw, let's pray. Why don't we do that? Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for each person that's here today, Lord. And Father, as we talked about already, we thank you in advance, Lord, that those who came here to hear from you are going to hear from you. That those who came, Lord, to get a word from you, they have already put on their ears to hear, Lord. They already opened their heart and cultivated their heart, Lord. And now they're ready, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Father, if there is somebody here who still has a hard heart, maybe it's a spouse who just came because, well, the spouse came. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to chisel away at any hardness of any heart or any hardness of any mind, Lord, and that you would manifest yourself to them in a real way. Father, I thank you for who you are. And I thank you, and I am so grateful for everything you've done in my life, that you've done in the lives of so many people here today. And Father, what you're doing here at New Life Fellowship Church, we give you all the honor and all the glory. And today we stand and we proclaim the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, man. I might be a little fired up today. Huh? Shimmer down, man. All right. So last week we talked about, of course, Jesus takes this man named Saul, right? The most unlikely person. The murderer, the persecutor. Yeah, man. Right? He takes him and he, what does he do, man? He appears to him on the road to Damascus. And listen, here's what I want you to understand. He changed his life forever. We also look at Ananias and how God used Ananias. This guy, he calls, right? And he says, Ananias, I want you to go over here to Judas's house on Straight Street, and I want you to put your hands on Saul. He said, what? I mean, he was always going to go. He just wanted to make sure, God, are you talking about that guy? But of course, Ananias listened, and he went, and he put his hands on Saul. Scales dropped from his face. Saul received the Holy Spirit, right? And he was baptized. And we know what the advantage and the benefits of that would be. And they would be very, very huge. Let me ask you a question, in all honesty. In all honesty, do you believe God can change people?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can change you?
Yes.
Sometimes we're tempted. Sometimes we meet people and they have issues. But listen, here's what I want you to know. You all have issues.
Yep.
We all have issues.
Yep.
But sometimes we look at people, or maybe we have family members, or maybe there's somebody in our life or somebody we work with, somebody who we look at and we say, man, ain't no hope for that person. Come on. Right now, some of you, a picture just came into your mind. Right? But listen to me. When that thought comes into your mind, here's what I want you to remember. Because the greatest lesson that God wants us to learn from Acts chapter 9, make no mistake about it, is that if He can save a man like Saul, He can save and He can change and He can transform anybody. Anybody. There's no sin too big, no number of sins too many that God's grace cannot cover, forgive, and redeem. That is the main thing that God is showing us here in Acts chapter 9. Amen? So don't miss that. And now let's read what happens next after Paul, of course, Saul is saved, because his name won't change to Paul until later on. Hello! Everybody say hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
I'm really glad she's here. And if you haven't seen her daughter, man, you're going to want to take her home for at least a day. She's just cute. She got them cheeks. That little red hair, yeah. I wonder where she got that, Jose. Not from you. Not from you, brother. All right. Where am I at? 19?
Yeah.
All right. Some of your Bibles, that's kind of picked up in the middle of a verse, but what happens is, you know, Ananias comes, lays hands on him, and the scales fall from his eyes. He's received the Holy Spirit and is baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. I don't know why the NIV splits that right there. It's kind of weird. All right, and then it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Now, I want you to remember that, because when we read, Saul spent several days there in Damascus, what's the most that several days could be? A week? Several days? Several? Several actually means three.
Three or more.
All right, so several days, I think we could narrow it down to probably a week. All right? Several days, using the word several. I want you to remember that because it'll come into play later on. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. So what happened after he got saved, man? All right, it looked like a little fire going on to me. All of those who heard him were astonished, well, I don't know why they wouldn't be, and asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? We know that that's what his goal was prior to coming there, yes. And even all the way up till on his way there, yes. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. Verse 23. What is it? It says here now, we already looked at several days. Now it says after many days. All right? So when it says after many days, we don't really know how many days that was, right? And I want you to notice something there, because there's a gap right here. He stayed with them several days, then after many days, this happened. Please just remember that, what I'm telling you there, between the gap there between 22 and 23, because I'm going to try to shove something in there. Okay? Because there's something that Paul did that has to be put in somewhere. All right? It has to be, because it happened. Our job is, as a body of Christ, is to figure out where that goes. Now you say, what are you talking about? Follow me. Follow me. This is a benefit to going through the Bible, going through books, okay? That we don't lose track of things like this. Where am I at? 23, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. Boy, he went from the persecutor to the persecuted. Quick and in a hurry, right? But his followers took him by night. Did it say his followers? He already got followers. And lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem. Everybody say that with me. When he came to Jerusalem. That is going to be a very important statement in that shoving that I'm going to try to do here in a few minutes, okay? When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Well, that makes sense too, doesn't it? Not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas, everybody say Barnabas.
Barnabas.
Oh, I hope you all got a little Barnabas in you, I really do. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, we know that to be true, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And we know that to be true as well. So Saul stayed with him and moved about freely in Jerusalem, right? Speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with Hellenistic Jews, Greek-speaking, Greek cultural Jews is what that means, Hellenistic. But they tried to kill him too. Golly! When the believers learned of this, they took him down to where? Caesarea, and sent him off to Tarsus. All right? Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. That makes sense. You know why? Because the greatest persecutor of the church, God has now flipped. So there would be a time of peace until somebody else takes that position. Amen? But I want to show you a map, because I want you to know that here, they took him to Caesarea, right? Do I have a map here? Yes. All right, here's my man, I can only do what I can do. Can y'all see it? Huh? I think there's an old joke in there somewhere. All right. Damascus. All right. Damascus. Look. All right. They took him down to Caesarea. So they took him down there to what? Send him on a boat. Where? To Tarsus. Where's Paul from? Tarsus. You see this black line? This is the first missionary trip that Paul took. Can y'all see this at all? Anybody back there maybe see it? Huh? All right. Here's what I want you to know. The first missionary trip begins with Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. All right? And what Barnabas does, since he knows where Saul is, or Paul is, he goes to Tarsus and he gets him because there's something, the Spirit is being poured out in Antioch, and that's why it starts in Antioch and ends in Antioch. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the deal. Saul is converted in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19, he begins, Barnabas goes and gets him, and in that you can see the beginning of the first missionary journey. Between all that, verse 10, chapter 10 of verse as Acts is all about Peter, Cornelius, and Gentiles. And Acts, the beginning of Acts chapter 11 is all about Peter explaining what happened in to the Gentiles when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Cornelius. You guys, you follow me? If you read ahead, you know what I'm saying. Now, you say, maybe it don't make sense to me. Just follow me. Because the only thing I want you to know is the Word of God. All right? I want you to know the Word of God. Okay? So as we read it, it seems like that Paul comes onto the scene, right? And Saul just explodes and everything just starts falling into place. And he starts preaching the Word of God and he goes to Jerusalem and he gets in trouble, right? And he had to let him down through a thing in the wall. Then he goes and he preaches and then he gets in trouble again. They got to send him off somewhere. So what I'm saying here is it just seems like, man, it seems like he's already filled with the Holy Spirit and he already knows everything. You understand what I'm saying? That's what it seems like. But here's what I want you to know. That is not the case. That is not the case. And I want to prove that to you and I want to show it to you. Because here's the deal. I want to prove to you that Paul, in his own words, says he had to spend time with God alone in order to mature. And listen to these words very carefully, because what we're about to read has to be shoved into Acts somewhere. That's my point I'm telling you. It has to be put into Acts somewhere. Yes. When I read this, a lot of the things I said that you're probably wondering what the heck I'm talking about will become more clear to you. Now follow me. In Galatians chapter 1, if you want to go there, verses 11 through 18. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Come on. The gospel you heard is not of human origin either. I don't care if you heard it from a human. It didn't come from a human. Amen? I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Come on, man. Think about something. When you got saved, wasn't God giving you a revelation? Absolutely. Yeah, it was already there. Yeah, he already laid it out. But you know what he was doing? Giving you the opportunity to reveal it, to allow it in. We all got saved the same way he did. And that was by a revelation of Jesus Christ. When I learn, when I grow, and I mature, you know why? Because he reveals to me the revelations that he's already put in here. And what is revelation in the end of the Bible? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called revelation. But man, I sure got a lot of revelations to learn all the way through this Bible. You understand what I'm saying now, right? All right, let's go on. Verse 13. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. Come on. How intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism. What is Judaism? The law. He knew the law like nobody else. He was a scribe. He was tutored under Gamaliel, right? Beyond many years of my own age, among my own people, was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Yes, he was. He was taking people prisoner, killing people. Yes. If you'll remember, we're first introduced to Saul when Stephen is stoned to death, the first Christian martyr in the Bible, in Acts chapter 7. Saul is there with the feet of those who are stoning him. The coats are at his feet. Amen? But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me, what? By his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, not to me, but in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. We know that's what God told Ananias. Hey, go do this because he is going to go to the Gentiles for me, and he is going to see how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Remember? All right. My immediate response, listen, was not to consult with any human being. All right, listen to me. So when he got saved, when he is converted on the road to Damascus, he did not consult with any human being. That was not his first thing, right? I did not go up to Jerusalem. But wait a minute. He says, I did not go up to Jerusalem. But we just read where he got saved and he was in Damascus. They ran him off and then he went to Jerusalem. But here Paul is telling us clearly, listen, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went where? Into Arabia. Listen, later I returned to Damascus, Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed there with him 15 years. Amen? 15 days, thank you. And stayed there. Thank you, man. Let me know, because somebody's going to leave here thinking, man, he was there 15 years? 15 days, 15 years, a big difference, right? All right. So, even though it seemed like Saul had learned so much and grew so much in such a short period of time, he didn't. Because here's what I want you to know. In that gap, you got to put this somewhere in Acts. Because here's what Paul is absolutely clearly saying. He's saying when he got saved, he didn't consult any human being. What he's saying is when he got saved, he did not go to Jerusalem. He said that plain as day. Right? So this time, this 3 years that he has here in Arabia has to go in this Acts chapter 9 somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it's just, it seems to me that when he was in Damascus for several days, and then in verse 23, it says, after many days, it just seems like Luke has given me somewhere that I can shove this 3 days in Arabia, 3 years in Arabia. Because after that, it says he goes to Jerusalem. But clearly Paul said, I did not go to Jerusalem. I did not seek out the other apostles. I went to Arabia for 3 years. Amen? And listen, in verse 20, this is what he says. At once, no, wait a minute, let me back up, because I want to show you the timeline. Back up, please. Back up, right there. So here's my timeline. You go study it yourself. All I know is it's got to go in there somewhere. All right, you can decide for yourself where it goes. Saul is converted in 1 through 9. Saul preaches in Damascus in 20 through 23. Come on, 20 through 22, excuse me. Saul retreats to Arabia, all right, in Galatians 1, 11 through 20, actually. Saul returns to Damascus, because we read that in there too. He said, and then later I returned to Damascus. I want to read that to you. And then Saul visits Jerusalem in verses 26 through 30. Listen, that 3 years has got to be put in there somewhere. It has to be. Why Luke didn't tell us that, I don't know. But Paul tells us that he had 3 years in Arabia. So it has to go in there after his conversion and before his first missionary trip. You follow me? Some of you look at me saying, what does this really matter? It matters because it's the Word of God. I want you to have the whole story. I want you to know the whole story. Amen? So now when you read that in Galatians chapter 1, or you read this here in 9, you'll be able to put that together in your mind, right? I mention that because I really want to make a point, and that is spiritual matureness or spiritual growth takes time. All right? And clearly, before he went on his first missionary journey, he got alone with Jesus Christ. He went to Arabia. And Arabia is a desert. It's a pretty good area, so I couldn't even begin to tell you what part he went to, but I know he went to Arabia, right? Because that's what the Bible tells us. So it takes time to develop our spiritual gifts. It takes time for you and I to learn how to use them effectively. Make no mistake about it, but that should be our goal. That should be what we want to do, is to understand the gifts that God has given each of us and that we might learn to use those gifts effectively, right? It takes time for us to be confident enough to share our faith with others. But listen to me, you need to get to that point where you can share your Jesus with somebody else. Amen. Praise God, somebody got to that point to share Jesus with you. Yep. You understand what I'm saying? Man, we got to get to that point. We got to get to that point. I mean, we don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden we are mature. That's not what happened here. It may look like that's what happened here. Man, we wake up one morning, we got all the revelations. We all know that's not how it happened. I wish that's how it happened. But it takes reflection. Amen? It takes meditation. What am I talking about? The Bible tells us, meditate on the Word day and night. Keep it before you. That's what it says. Amen? And listen, here's the most important thing. It takes you and I choosing to cooperate with God and what He is and wants to do in our life. Do you understand what I'm saying? He ain't going to make you do anything. We have to make a choice, a conscious choice, to choose to cooperate with what God wants to do and is doing in our life. Paul clearly did that. When I think of sold out, I think of Paul. Sold out. Sold out, man. No matter what was going to happen, it was going to happen, right? So in verse 20, yeah, he started fast. The Bible does say he started fast. Verse 20, and he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. But listen to me. Paul was an Old Testament perfectionist. All right? There was very few people in that day that knew that Old Testament better than Paul did. So remember what happened to Peter when he got the Holy Spirit and all those verses from the Old Testament all of a sudden started making sense? Well, make no mistake about it. That same thing happened to Paul. Amen? And that's how he could go into the synagogue and preach that Jesus was the Son of God. Not to mention, he actually appeared to him. Right? Make no mistake about it, because he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, and Jesus said, "I am Jesus who you persecute." Amen? But you know what? There is a, man, I had a personal encounter with Jesus too. Huh? About 25 years ago, man. It was the most beautiful thing. Man, it was the most beautiful thing. And I hope that you're in here today and you've had a personal encounter with Jesus as well. Amen? If you haven't, get with me. I'll introduce you to him. Yeah. Him and I are pretty tight. Amen? Yeah. I'm one of his followers. All right. I want you to think about something. Because when we look at this, when we look at these 3 years that Paul went off into Arabia and the things that God did there, I want you to remember something. He said that he went there and he learned by revelation from Jesus Christ himself. What a beautiful picture. But that's how you learn, and that's how I learn. But listen, you gotta be wanting, right? Desiring. Desperate. Oh, I love that word, man. Desperate for the Word of God. If you're desperate for the Word of God, make no mistake, you will receive the knowledge that God wants you to receive. Not only will you receive the knowledge, well, you'll take that knowledge and make application of it in your life and then become wise. Amen? Yep. I want you to think about some other men, man. How about Joseph? Did God not prepare him from down in the well and the cistern? He thought his brothers were going to kill him, to sending him off with those gypsies, right? He ends up in Potter's house and gets accused of messing around with Potter's wife. He never did that. He ends up in prison. Come on, you don't think God is preparing him for something? Absolutely, he was preparing him for something. He would become second only to Pharaoh in Egypt, and he would save Abraham and the entire brothers, the entire tribes of Israel. Amen? So that's how God does that. What about the apostles? How long were they with Jesus? Yeah, three and a half years, man. It ain't like God just said, go. Right? He wants to train us all. He does. He wants to train and educate us, man, and fill us up with that Holy Spirit to accomplish what it is he wants us to accomplish. I'll think about somebody else, David. David was anointed king when he was about 15 years old, right, in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it wasn't until David becomes king of Judea in 2 Samuel chapter 2, but he only becomes king of half of Israel, right? And it would be another 10 years before he would become king of the entire nation of Israel. Do you see what I'm saying? And he would be 30 years old then. But you guys, we've been through Samuel. Do you not see God preparing him all through those years, right? Remember, what's the first thing he faced right after he was anointed king? He went to face Goliath. He had already been anointed king. But it would be 15 years before he would actually realize. But you know what God did through that time? God prepared him, strengthened him. Saul chased him down. How many times did Saul try to kill him? Too many. How about Moses? Everybody said, well, Moses was just Moses. Do you know that Moses' life can be split into very simply 3 40-year time? All right, the first 40 where? Pharaoh's house. The second 40 in this same Arabian desert that we are talking about today, only 3,000 years earlier. And then, of course, the last 40 was spent leading the people out of Egypt. So you ask yourselves, well, what was the most important? And a lot of people would say, well, that was the last 40, him leading people out of Egypt. But here's the deal. If he hadn't had that middle 40, he would have never been prepared and never been equipped to lead them. Have you read that book? Those people were, I mean, these people were whining, crying, whang. You know, Moses didn't make it into the promised land. And part of the reason was because he got tired of their stuff. Right? He was so mad at those people. God said to speak water out of a rock. But he's so mad at these people he got to deal with, man, he smacked it. God said, because of that, you will see it, but you will never be able to enter it. Amen? But that 40 years. And listen, I can prove it to you. After, what was the last thing before he went to the Arabian desert that Moses did? What he did was he killed somebody. He murdered somebody and hit him in the sand. He took things into his own hands. He did it with, he was wrapped up in the flesh. So God sent him to Arabia. And by George, it took many years to sandblast that pride and stuff out of him. But when he was ready, God said, now, lead my people out of Egypt. So listen, when you look at these men and women, Ruth is another one. When you look at these great men and women of God, I want you to know something. God didn't just throw them out there, man. He prepared them. He equipped them. Man, set them apart, yes, to do what it was that he called them to do. And listen, he wants to do the exact same thing for you and me. Amen? That's what he wants to do. But, you know, and sometimes, myself, I had 38 months of solitude with God. As many of you know, I did 38 months in Texas Department of Corrections, right? That's where God put me. That's where I got saved. That's where he taught me. 38 months away from everything except for idiots. But I'm here to tell you, I can learn. You can learn with a bunch of idiots. Come on. Actually, God is really moving in there, and people are really receptive in there because, you know, when a person has no hope, come on, God's the God of hope. Amen? And that's one of the huge reasons why we are teamed up with Sanctified Hope, who Kelly is here today, who works there, who is a participant, a former participant of Sanctified Hope as well. So it's good to see you here today. All right. So let's move on, because here I want to. We talked about Paul and how he wants, how he was. He also had that time with God where God revealed some things to him. You know what? I'm thankful for that time God gave me. And you know, sometimes that time may be around other people. Like Moses, it was around other people. You know, Paul, it doesn't really say if there was other people around, but Paul being Paul, I got a feeling wherever he went, he was saying something about Jesus. I just got a feeling about that. Amen. David, we know, and but here's the deal. Has God put you in a place somewhere or a time where he wanted to teach you, right? Where he wanted to reveal things to you, where he wanted to exemplify the gifts and the talents that he has given you personally to use and operate in his body? You understand what I'm saying? If he, listen, his goal is to do that. If you haven't let him yet, please let him. I'm not saying it's going to take 40 years. Some of you, it's going to take more than that. But you know what I'm saying? Let him do that, man. Receive the word. Receive that time in prayer. Receive that time in reading. Make sure, amen, because God really wants to reveal himself to you. And the more of you, the more of him that you know, the greater servant, the greater witness, the greater Christian, come on, that you're going to be. All right, let's move on to Barnabas real quick. Because he's really, I want to zero in on him. We're first introduced to Barnabas back in chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And if you remember, he is one of the guys. He was from Cyprus. He is from an island, right? And that they went there, Paul and Barnabas will go there on their first missionary journey. But he's the one that sold property and brought the money and laid it at the disciples' feet. If you read that, if you want to go back and read that in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, you'll see his real name is Joseph. All right? But it says there that the apostles called him Barnabas, and here's why. Barnabas means son of encouragement. I want you to see something. His name was Joseph, but because of the character that he exuded, come on, to the apostles, they thought they would change his name. Your name is Quintilla. Did I say that right? What did I say? Quilindra, but we call her Q. Thank you. But you understand what I'm saying? So they changed his name because they saw something. Back then, names meant something. But they saw something in his character, right? In his integrity, in who he was. And he says, I know your name's Joseph, but we're going to call you Barnabas because we see how encouraging you are. Amen? So don't miss that. He is known as the son of encouragement. All right, so Paul escapes from Damascus. He went to Jerusalem. It has to be, he went to Jerusalem after Arabia, because we know from Galatians chapter 1 that it says, I did not go to Jerusalem. All right, you can shove it in there anywhere you want, but it has to go in there somewhere. All right? And, you know, he goes to these other disciples. They wouldn't even get more. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Right? He tries to get in with his own people, and they didn't want nothing to do with him because they didn't believe that he had became a disciple of Christ. Right? But Barnabas comes alongside of him. The son of encouragement comes alongside of him. And he takes him before the apostles, and this is what he says in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, I want you to remember something. In Acts chapter 9, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through 20, what we read, he said he had not been to Jerusalem, nor had he seen any of the apostles. But here, he is saying he's seen the apostles. So again, I want to remind you, that three-year period is in Acts chapter 9 somewhere that you can put in there. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Amen? So these apostles, they may have heard things, but Barnabas had seen these things, okay? He understood them, these things to be true. So, man, look, Barnabas took a risk here. He's taking a risk, and here's why. Because if Saul turns out to be faking, he is a murderous, persecuting dude. What Barnabas is really doing is opening the door to the hen house and letting the fox ride in. If Paul or Saul is not who he says or claims to be. So I want you to understand something. I want from looking out, looking in, it was a little bit of a risk that Barnabas here was taking. And listen, it would have been easy to hate this guy, right? I mean, these were friends of Barnabas's. These were brothers and sisters of Barnabas. These were people he knew that were being arrested and persecuted and murdered. It would have been really, really hard, easy to say, man, you get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. I know what you did. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a point in our lives where somebody could have said that to all of us. Isn't it a good thing we come in here and we don't wear our sin on our shirt? Huh? Because the truth is, a lot of us wouldn't even show up. Come on. Or some of us would have five shirts. Come on. But it would have been real easy for Barnabas to do that. To say, man, I know what you did. But he forgave him. Did he not? He forgave him. And Paul did some horrendous, torturous things, man. But here we see a heart of forgiveness in the Son of encouragement. Amen? Barnabas sticks up for him when no one else would. Right? Why? That's who he was. That's who he was, and clearly by the name that the apostles gave him, it was clearly obvious at who he was. And he gave Saul a chance, right? And I think that to a large degree because of what he had witnessed in Paul or Saul, that he knew he was going to be something else. Amen? You know, when some of these, like Billy Graham's, when you know, Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, when some of these people got saved, you could look at them and say, man, you want to follow these people because, man, they're going to make a difference. You could just see something about them. Amen? And that's the way it was. That's what Barnabas saw in Saul as well. And I say all that to say this. The church absolutely needs Barnabases. We need Barnabases. Why are we here? Today we're here to honor and glorify God, right? We're here to bring glory to God. And we need people who's willing to raise up leaders. People who are willing and always ready to encourage, right? There is plenty in the world to be discouraged about. There is, man. What we need is encouragers. What we need is Barnabases. Amen? We need others who will dedicate themselves to others' success. We need people who will make sacrifices for the greater good of the community. When I say community, I'm talking about the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? And why do I say that? I said a lot to say this. Because if there are no Barnabases, there will be no Pauls. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know that some of the greatest Christian men were all brought up, raised up, and sent forth from a church? Come on, right? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're all called to do. Because if we're not going to be Barnabases, because we all can't be Sauls, I can't even get most of you to pray in church. Come on. If you won't pray in church, it's going to be that's a long leap to being a Paul. Come on. We need Barnabases. We can't all be Sauls, but we can absolutely all be Barnabases. Amen? You want to see a church, what it's supposed to look like? Man, it's full of Barnabases. Yep. Oh, there's some Sauls in there too. Because if you got a church full of Barnabases, you got some Sauls. You got some Pauls in there, man. Because that church has zeroed in on their abilities and zeroed in on the treasures and the gifts and the talents that God has given them. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure God can use that individual. Amen? Give them the opportunity anyway. Right? You know, Jason and them are in Houston this week. But man, he had never taught before. And I said, man, what you do a men's breakfast? And man, you know, we got there and he taught that men's breakfast. And I want you to know something, man. The spirit of teaching was all over that guy. And you know, he's taught here several times since then. But here's the deal. We hadn't have been there to encourage him, right? To give him an opportunity to use his gifts and his talents. He would still be sitting somewhere unaware of that gift and that talent that he had. I know you guys are thinking, you're saying, Pastor, you mean you'll throw me out of my box? I think you know I will. I think if you've been here for any amount of time, you know I will. Because it's outside of that box where you find your true gifts and your true talents. Inside of that box, you've decided what your gifts and talents are. When you begin to step out, Andy, because Andy will be teaching men's breakfast for the first time coming this next men's breakfast. Amen. His first teaching at all. Maybe he'll be good, maybe he'll be bad. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what I'm telling you. We'll never know unless we do it. You understand what I'm saying? We'll never know unless we do it. It'll be good. That's right, man. So what we've looked at today, and that's why Saul and Barnabas, is Saul, man, and he didn't just come on the scene with all the knowledge and everything. He spent some time with God. Listen, if you've been a Christian, you know, 5 years, and you're not prepared and you're not using those gifts and the talents that God's given you, my question is, what happened? I mean, what happened? Right? You need to say, God, I need to listen. Give me the ears to hear. Give me the heart. Help me to cultivate that desire to serve you and to listen to you. God, reveal to me what you want me to do. And then when you do, and you're serious about that, I'm not telling you for a second it's going to get easy. No, because outside of that box, oh. But the rewards are beautiful. Right? That's the first thing I want you to remember today from some Saul. And the second thing, of course, is Barnabas. We need Barnabases. You know, if you see somebody down, you know what I mean? If you know somebody needs a prayer, man, put hands on them. Yes. What does the Bible say? Put your hands on them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Encourage them. Amen? Because in doing that, we got some good Barnabases in here. But we could use some more. And it's not because some of you aren't good Barnabases. It's just because some of you are still in that box. Get out of the box and find your place. Amen? And listen, if you need somebody to help you, I will help you. You know, I'll give you a little bit of time to ask me. But all of you know who have been coming here for a long time. Eventually, I'm going to pull you out of your box. We're going to find out what you're made of. But is that not my responsibility? Is that not my responsibility, Miss Kelly? All right, if you would stand with me. Isn't God good?
Amen.
First and foremost, man, praise God for salvation.
Woo!
Listen, you should be so thankful that you stand here today sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that when you die, you are going to be present with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Woo!
You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from this body. So when I take my last breath and my heart beats the last time, I'll be before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where I'll be. I don't know where you're going to be. But that's where I'm going to be. I want you to make sure, and I want you to have an assurance of your own heart that that's where you'll be. So if you're not, let me know. I would love to talk to you, and I would love to show you how to get that assurance that I have. Amen? I ain't scared of dying. I'm looking forward to it. Not to the way I'm going to die. Lord, take me in my sleep. Don't let me drown. Don't let me burn. Listen, death is a reality. All right? It just is. 99.99% guaranteed. You say, how's that? Elisha and Enoch. Enoch. Both were raptured. They didn't die. So you can't really say 100%. But listen, for you, it's 100%. For me, it's 100%. Unless we're raptured out as well. Come on. Amen. But the thing I want you to know more than anything is that you have a relationship and you're saved and you're going to heaven. That's number one. You should always have that. Remember, the armor of God is the helmet of salvation. Man, it's just knowing that no matter what you go through, you got that helmet.
Woo!
Come on, man. No matter what you go through, no matter what happens in life, when you die, that's salvation. You're going to be with the Lord. Amen? Christians, God is trying to get your attention, has been trying to get your attention, to come alongside of Him, spend some time with Him, and allow Him to show you, prepare you, and equip you for what it is He has called you and saved you to do. I don't know what that is. I'd rather you and him working out than me and you working out. Amen? And another thing, man, be an encourager, not just here, but everywhere you go. Look for opportunities to hug someone, to let them know you care, to pray for them. Amen? Do that. Do that. That's what the world needs today. Could you imagine a world full of Barnabases? I can. It's called heaven. Or thousand-year reign. Thousand-year reign is a perfect example. However God is speaking to you today. All right, we're going to have an invitation time. And you know, this is always a time when I want you to do what God tells you to do. If you got someone in your family who's sick, if you need personal prayer, if you're struggling, going through a circumstance, whatever it is, if God has spoken to you, maybe he said, hey, I've been trying to get your attention, and Pastor just reminded you of it, you come down here. Whatever it is that God has spoken to you about, you, if he says come down, you come down. I just want you to do what God says. Nothing more, nothing less. Only what he says. But if you don't have salvation, you come down here, man. Let me introduce you to somebody. And his name is Jesus. And he absolutely died on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen? He paid that price. All you got to do is accept it. Right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. All you got to do is receive it. Amen? Father, we just come before you, Lord. What a joy it is to be in your house today, Lord. And Father, I thank you for each of those who can hear my voice. And Father, I know you've already been speaking to hearts. And Lord, I know some are hard, some are soft, some are cultivated, Lord. But I thank you today that whatever word was spoken, that it did accomplish that for which you sent forth. Father, whatever you have spoken to the hearts of your people, I just pray that they would do exactly what you say. That they would see it for what it is, Lord. That they would see it as you loving them so much that you're calling them to do something for you. Father, as we open up this time, we do commit this time to you. We thank you for this time, Lord. This time of personal reflection. This time of kneeling in your presence or sitting in your presence, Lord. Just letting you know, Lord, either we love you or we're sorry, whatever it may be. Thank you for this time, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.